Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. We don't want no devils in the house.
Yes,
we want the Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Yes,
Lord. Have your mercy.
Yes,
Jesus, praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, God.
Yes.
We don't want no
We on a ultralight beam, we on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream. This is everything. This is everything. Deliver us serenity, deliver us peace, deliver us love, and we know we need it. You know we need it. You know we need it. Now I'm in need you now. Pray for Paris. Pray for the parents. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything. Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe, and in my holy war.
The pressure, not blessings. Why, oh, why you do me wrong? Whoa. You persecute the weak because it makes you feel so strong. Hey. Don't have much friends to fight, so I look to the light. Whoa. Don't make these wrongs turn right. Head up high, I look to the light. Hey, cause I know that you'll make everything alright. And I know that you'll take good care of your child. Oh, no.
If they come for you, I will shield your name. I will field their questions. I will feel your pain. No one can judge. They don't know. They don't know.
Foot on the devil's neck to the drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia.
Treat the demons just like Pam.
I mean, I fuck with your friends, but damn, Gina, I've been this way since Arthur was anteater. Now they wanna hit me with the ooh, I go bam. Trying to send photos of family. My daughter look just like Sia, you can't see her.
You can feel the lyric and spirit coming in braille. Summon of the underground, come and follow the trail. I made Sunday candy, I'm never going to hell. I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail. You tell us do a good ass job with Chance 3. I hear you gotta sell it to snatch the Grammy. Let's make it so free and the bar so hard that it ain't one gosh darn part you can't tweet. This is my part, nobody else speak.
This is my part, nobody else speak. This little light of mine. Glory be to God, yeah.
I'ma make sure that they go where they can't go. If they don't wanna ride, I'ma still give them raincoats. Know what God said when he made the first rainbow? Just notice at the end, if I'm too late for the intro. I'm just having fun with it. You know that a nigga was lost. I laugh in my head cause I bet that my ex looking back like a pillar of salt. Cause they flipped the script on your ass like Wesley and Spike. You cannot mess with the light. Look at Latino from 79.
To be with
Just a few housekeeping stories before we get. As live housekeeping chores before we get started, and your gracious host comes online. Tonight you are in one of the best places that you could ever be, and for that you should just go ahead and give yourself a round of applause. Real quick, we'd like to give you a disclaimer. The show is not responsible for anything that is said on the show. There's your disclaimer. During the show, if you are vibing with us, you feeling what we're saying, and you would love to just give us a love token, where you're going to see at the bottom of the screen, it's going to say Cash App Tyron Joe, $ Tyron Joe, TYRENJO. Anything that you can give would be greatly appreciated. One, two, or a few, we greatly appreciate it. Also, if you would like to be a sponsor of the program, please go to our Instagram page at BZNZ Talk. At BZNZ Talk, our Instagram page. Also, you can go to our Facebook page at BZNZ Talk. At BZNZ Talk, and we will be glad to work with you. And also, a quick reminder, throughout the show, I want to let you know that the likes are free, the dislikes are free, the love button is free, the share button is free, and the subscribe button is free. Five things while you're viewing this broadcast, five things while you're learning and growing, five things that is for free. And we would love for you to partake in that during the program. Last but not least, once again, we want to thank you all for tuning in to our program, our broadcast, our live stream, because you are the ones that run the show. Thank you all. Peace. Be blessed.
We gon' talk about it, we gon' talk about it, we gon' talk about it. Situationships and relations, Tyron Joe the host, start the conversation. Too much we gotta learn, too much we gotta learn, too much we gotta learn, too much we gotta learn. BZNZ, BZNZ, Internet Talk Radio. We gon' talk about it, we gon' talk about it, we gon' talk about it. Situationships and relations, Tyron Joe the host, start the conversation. Too much we gotta learn, too much we gotta learn, too much we gotta learn.
Man, that sound good right there.
You are now tuned into BZNZ Internet Talk Radio, where the relationship talk is the conversation that never sleeps and the payoff is never cheap.
Man, that sound good right there. That sound real good. We're going to have to try that one more again. One more time. We're going to have to try that. Oh, let me turn my mic on. Is my mic on? Why am I muted? All right. Let's see, Mark. Okay, why am I muted? Okay. All right. I hope everybody can hear me now. Man, that sound good right there. We're going to have to try that one more again. Where that song go?
We
we gon' talk about it. We gon' talk about it. We gon' talk about it. Situationships and relations. Tyron Joe, the host, start the conversation. Too much we gotta learn. 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 BZNZ, BZNZ, Internet Talk Radio.
We gon' talk about it.
Yes. Too much we gotta learn.
Man. Oh man, great. Yes sir, yes sir. Too much we gotta learn, man. Shout out to Trail Money. Shout out to Trail Money. Man, welcome. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. All right, all right. Thank you all for tuning in tonight to BZNZ Internet Talk Radio, where we do a lot of relationship talks, because it's all about that relationship. It don't matter. It don't matter with who it is, but can you be relatable? That's the question that I want to ask tonight. Can you be relatable? Because if you can't be relatable, then I need you to join on and watch the broadcast. So by the end, you'll be able to relate. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. I am so gracious. I am so gracious to be here tonight. Thank you all. Thank you all for being there. Well, tonight I'm not going to hold you long before we bring on our special guest. But we had a few announcements and things to speak about real quick before we bring on our special guest. Tonight we are in our part of our series that is Conversation with the Clergy, with co-pastor Larry Bates tonight from the Community Lifeline Christian Church, Indianapolis, Indiana. We are so thankful and grateful to have him tonight. Hold on, let's give him a royal shout out, a royal salute. We are so thankful and grateful to have him in the building with us tonight. But just before we bring him on, let's go ahead and do some quick announcements. Keep in mind, this Tuesday, we are going to have, I thought I had his picture up here. Let me see if I can put his picture up here real quick. We're going to have in the building with us this Tuesday, February 8th, we're going to have Pastor Antoine Howard. He's going to be back with us this Tuesday, February 8th. With us in the building. Can't wait for that. We're going to have part two of what we had maybe just a couple weeks ago. So mark your calendars for that. Let me see. Can I get his pick up here? So everybody, let's see if it's going to work for me today, or if it's going to clown like it's been clowning. Yeah, it's clowning. Well, at some point of the show, we're going to get his pick up here. To let everybody know that Pastor Antoine will be in the building on Tuesday. Also, let me say this. That Thursday, we're going to have Professor David Kalonji Walton, Sr., Director of Global Black Studies at Western California University. I said California. Western Carolina University. He is going to be with us. He is a professor of, he said that he lectured on. We just going to put some stuff in a bag and just shake it up and have ourselves a good time. He said he lectured on a variety of topics, history of hip-hop, black radical thought, the long black freedman struggle, comparative black history, transnational black history, black women's history, the history of black studies, and black studies theory. So we're going to have ourselves a real good time next Thursday celebrating Black History Month. And let me get that salute. Happy Black History Month to everybody. Black History Month 2022, we made it. And with that being said, let me say this real quick. Man, shout out to you, Shayna. Thank you. Appreciate you, Shayna, for stopping by. But with that being said, Black History Month is on to a good start. Shout out to Brian Flores. He was the former Miami Dolphins coach. Okay, and Brian Flores, he filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL and his teams this week, accusing them of sham interviews, incentivizing losses, and pressure to improperly recruit players. The league and three of the teams involved, the Dolphins, New York Giants, and Denver Broncos, denied his allegations in short order, leaving two distinct tracks to follow. See, the thing is they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They realize that the league really is getting a little bit too dark out there. It's getting a little bit too black, so they had to slow some things down. Okay? They said that the league had three black coaches. I'm drawing a blank because all I know right now is, let me see, three black head coaches, Mike Tomlinson, Pittsburgh Steelers. I remember they had, what's his name? They had Tony Dungy for the Colts, but then they gave him a real good job as a commentator. So, you know, they just, you know, quietly moved him up out of the way. Man, who else is a head coach? I remember Lovie Smith was one, but he moved about it away. He with last I checked, Lovie Smith was with Notre Dame. I don't know who else was a head coach. Well, if anybody out there know who else was a head coach, go ahead and drop that in the chat. But yeah, that's what they doing. They, you know, they say it's getting a little bit too dark. Okay, we already got too many black quarterbacks. We don't need all these black coaches. Then next what? We're going to want some black general managers. We certainly can't let that happen because this is the good old boy. Okay, this is the good old boy. We cannot let that happen. So, man, so once again, shout out to Brian Flores. Black History Month is off to a great start. It is off to a great start. Fight for your rights, Brian. But, I mean, like some people said, though, that what they're going to do, they're going to do a, what is that? They're going to do a Colin Kaepernick, where they're going to just, you know, flush him out. Probably may not ever coach again. But at least he did something. You know, at least he making history as, you know, one day. One that is going to go ahead and file a lawsuit. Because, I mean, some people say that Colin Kaepernick going to probably come back. I doubt if he is. So, you know, I wouldn't get too happy on that. But, you know, hopefully he do. Hopefully he do. So, shout out to Brian Flores. What else going on? Please stay safe, everybody, with the pandemic that's going on. Make sure you are taking your vitamins. Make sure you are exercising daily. Okay, I'm talking to myself because, you know, good 30 minutes of cardio, walking, running, whatever. That's what we need to do. So yeah, let's stay on that. Vitamins such as your trace minerals, zinc, potassium, magnesium, black seed oil, sodium. Yes. Ask me how I know that's something that your body needs. I got put in the hospital last year because I didn't have enough of it. So that's something that your body needs. Just gotta. Do it all in moderation. Got to do it all in moderation. So without further ado, we're not going to hold you long. You know what? I should have asked the pastor if he had bio. That's something I normally ask. Well, we're gonna get to know him tonight, so we can get the bio from him tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're gonna do? We're gonna move right along, and we're gonna bring on our very special guest tonight. Conversation with the clergy, pastor, co-pastor Larry Bates. Let's receive him with a hold on. Wait. We gotta do this. Do this the right way. All right, let's receive him with a round of applause. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How you doing, my brother?
Good, man. And how's the weather?
Whoa, it's serious here, man. We probably got about 10 inches of snow outside.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, it's going to keep snowing until about 3 a.m. this morning. So.
Oh, wow, so it's been snowing all day?
Yeah, snowing all day.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm not the one to kind of smile on stuff like that, but I've been in Minnesota since September, and we've been getting that type of snow since around Thanksgiving. And we've still got the most snowy days.
Man. Up until now, I don't think we've had an inch of snow total. So
yeah, the weather's been real nice in Indianapolis. Yeah,
we've been blessed.
Nice. Yeah. Well, all right. We're gonna hop right on in. And let me see. What do I want to ask you first? We're going to hop right on in here tonight. Let's see. Here's my question that I normally like to ask, and that is, what is, when we talk about pastoring, being the shepherd over the church, what is the overall position for that as the pastor?
Well, the purpose of a pastor is to take care of the flock. You know, shepherd, that word shepherd is used in the scriptures to deal with the person who's taking care of the flock. You know, you got a shepherd, he takes care of the sheep. If we compare it to the Bible, the job is to keep the flock safe, lead and guide and direct them. And so that's really the job, Tyron, is to take care of the people in the church. That actually it goes outside of the church as well. So our job is to make sure that the flock's taken care of.
Okay. Let me see. How long have you been pastoring and preaching?
I started preaching in 1991. I actually got the call in 85. I didn't want to do it, just being honest. Tried to get away from it. There's no getting away from God, okay?
Oh,
but I started preaching in 1991, started pastoring in 2006. I formed Lifeline Ministries. A year later, Lifeline Ministries merged with Community Christian Church, and we became Community Lifeline Christian Church, where Bill Martin and myself co-pastor.
Oh, okay. So you had like a Jonah situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we want to ask you. They were gonna have some co-hosts joining us later on, but we want to ask you about one of our main topics. Really, what we had let me see if I got that clip. What we had spoke about a couple weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen, I met Pastor Bates at Dr. Umar lecture, and he really said something to me that really made me think. He said that he had never seen as many young people in church before. He said he wondered how can he get them here. So let me play this clip real quick.
Get this many. That was my point. And I loved it that these young folks came out to be enlightened and educated. But if we're going to really make a change, you got to make a God change. It's going to start with God. Now, I'm down with everything. Most of what Dr. Umar said, not everything, I'll just be honest with you, but But if you start with God, a whole lot of our problems that we're having in our community, if we go back to where we started from, and that was with God, a lot of these things are going to change.
And you say there's some type of disconnect between the young people and coming to church.
There's a big disconnect. I don't know if it was my generation or the generation after me, but somewhere people stopped thinking they needed to come to church to worship. And the church used to be the pillar of the community. It kept everything together, economics and social and all aspects. Families were families. When I was growing up, brother, you didn't have a nursery. The kids didn't get put over in a nursery because they was in the sanctuary with us. If you cut up in the sanctuary, they got you in the sanctuary.
So let me ask, Pastor, do you think there's some type of a shift going on in the atmosphere, whereas many of our youth and people that's older than the youth, the generation above them, has heard a lot about the church, heard a lot from the church, and they're just not being fulfilled at this time?
Well, I guess you could say that, Tyron, but my question would be, is what fulfillment are they looking for? You know, one of the things that brought all those young people to church that evening was not church. It was to hear Umar Johnson's message, okay? And is his message relevant? Absolutely it is, because our neighborhoods, our communities have just been totally wrecked. But again, I'm going to take it back to God. Let's leave church alone. Let's take it back to God.
Okay.
We've got a generation now, and trust me when I say that, I don't want to say all of this younger generation has turned away from God. I don't want to try to say that at all, because I don't believe that. I just don't believe that God, and again, I don't want to confuse the church with God, because the church is just where believers go to worship. So I need to make that distinction between faith in God and faith in the church. But let's deal with the church. The church used to have credibility in the neighborhood. I think for the most part, the credibility of the church is gone. Why would I say that? Because it's become about money for a whole lot of preachers.
Absolutely.
Just keeping it real. It's about money. I need to ride around in a Maybach. I need to have my private jet. I need to do this. I need to live in a certain zip code. So it all becomes about the preacher rather than about the word of God. And so many people have become disillusioned, or many people are searching for that prosperity gospel. I'm going to come to church because I want to get rich. You know, it's kind of like the pyramids, you know, the schemes out here, everybody, you know, Noni Jukes and all Shackley and all Mary Kay and all the rest of these things. You know, everybody's looking to get rich. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but I'm saying that the disconnect has come because the message stopped.
Oh.
I think I can say that.
Mm.
The message stopped.
Mm, okay.
Nobody's preaching Jesus. They're preaching prosperity. They're preaching, okay, if you're, I want you to come to church so I can get you off of your bad feelings. It's not about every now and then somebody's going to feel bad. I don't care how blessed you are, you're going to have some bad days. So you need to know that you're going to have some trouble times. But God is going to get you through those trouble times. Not the church, God. So I hope I'm making sense to you.
Yeah, I'm getting it. You know, my thing is with the whole Umar lecture is that, yeah, the brother, he's teaching something to a people that, you know, has been oppressed, you know, and oppressed people that has that have fight with the police, that has had all kind of run-ins with the police, and he's, you know, giving them that type of energy and, you know, lifting them up, you know, teaching them about, you know, I guess doing for self, have your own business, growing your own food. And you're right. These were things that was taught at once in the church.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But we got away from that. And so let me say this. I'm down with all of that. You know, with what he's talking about being free from, you know, the bonds of government. You know, he mentioned Black Wall Street. Well, Black Wall Street was 100 years ago. We celebrate Black Wall Street. There's no reason we don't. There's no reason we shouldn't have a Black Wall Street right now. But let me throw this question out there. If I'm spending all my money on $400 tennis shoes, if I'm going to go and spend the night in line, Tyron, to wait on a pair of Jordans because they're the latest shoes, and all of my money goes right back to the people who made that product, and nobody I know is making that product, we're not going anywhere.
No, sir.
So, yes, I agree with his theory. I'm not going to disagree with his theory at all. But let me say this. I need to get this out because I didn't agree with everything he said that night. But I'm not here to talk about him, but I'm going to talk about the principles.
I mean, you can say what you want tonight. Go ahead.
I'm a grown man. I'm going to say what I need to say and what I think I need to say. He mentioned don't for black people not to date or marry white people. That's hate. I can't preach hate. Okay. It was probably some people in that audience that night who were dating or even married to white people. Now, how's that person going to leave their feeling if they're told, well, you don't want to date anybody? He talked about Vice President Kamala Harris. This is America, man. You know, let me ask this question, and this is to anybody listening. If you're African-American in this country, do you think you have any white ancestors? That's a rhetorical question.
So almost definitely. Through the institution of slavery, almost definitely we have some white in us. Oh, yeah.
Come on. So unless you're the first generation off the boat coming out of the motherland, you got some white ancestors in this country. I'm not telling anybody who to love. If you fall in love with somebody, that's who you fell in love with. I'm not talking about fascination and just saying, well, I'm going to go get this forbidden fruit because they're telling me I can't have it. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying we need to be able to tell somebody, if you're in love with somebody, I'm going to accept who you love. Okay, so separation is not part of my message. Jesus preached love.
What about homosexuality?
It's not biblical. It's wrong.
Because he talked about that too. He talked about that too.
It's wrong. You are not going to use the word of God to defend it. It's wrong. Now, do I love the homosexual? Yes, I do. But I'm not going to justify your lifestyle. And I'll say this, and I hope we got a lot of people listening, because if it's controversial for them, let it be controversial. At my church, at God's church, let me put it this way, two men or two women are not going to come in and practice homosexuality. They can practice. Let me put it this way. You can be a member of this church, but you cannot be an officer or any position of leadership in this church in sin. Because let me qualify what I'm saying. Fornication, homosexuality, all this is sin. So if you're practicing fornication, you can't be in any position in this church. So for the people who want to jump on me when we start talking about homosexuality, I'm talking about sin. I consider homosexuality sin.
Well, I mean, you said fornication. Yeah, I mean, don't you think, Pastor, that'd be hard to find out if somebody fornicating?
I'm not the sexual police. I'm not driving around to anybody's house to try to see who stayed at their house last night. But if I find out, hear me, if it comes to me, we're gonna talk about it.
Yes, sir.
If that's what you're doing, I've had to deal with that, Tyron, in our church. Mm. Two people living together. Okay? And it came to me. So we need to have this conversation. Are you living together? Yeah. Well, okay. You can no longer be in the choir. You can no longer be an usher. You can no longer be a deacon. Now, if you change that behavior, we'll restore you. That's what love, and that's what God says. He'll restore you.
And you know what? I actually totally agree. As a young man, 38, I mean, loves me a black woman. At the end of the day, I'm at the age now where, no, I don't want to have no sexual relations. until we say I do.
Amen.
It's just there's too much going on out there.
If you want to honor God, listen to me. If you want to honor God, that's what you'll do with your life, okay? I know what the world tells people. If you watch the television, the world is constantly pulling us. You know, you can look at the commercials and on TV. It's pushing homosexuality. It's pushing drugs. It's pushing gambling. It's pushing all the stuff that deals with sin. And young people, I'll be 69 years old April 3rd. I don't know how old you are, Tyrus, but I've been your age.
38.
I've been 38. I've been exposed to all of the temptations that you've been exposed to. Did I resist every one of them? I'll be the first one to tell you no. I'm not walking around here with a halo on my head. I don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in.
I'm
not judging people. But if it comes to us in the church, again, I want to go back to the hate thing. If I love God, now here's what the scriptures teach. If I love God, how can I hate someone who I see every day and love God whom I've never seen? That's
right,
scripture.
Right.
So for me to go around and tell people you can't, and to tell somebody you can't be with somebody is just wrong. It's just wrong. So again, Brother Johnson, I love the brother, okay? He was at, my wife and I have a building in Indianapolis called the Julie Bent Center. He came, he packed it out. Some of the message is awesome, but some of it's off base. But that's just, I'm trying to tell the young people.
Wait, that's your center, the Jewel Center?
Yes.
I've been there a few times. I never knew that was, okay, yeah. Wow, okay. I've been there a few times. All right.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. Hope you come back to Indianapolis, man. If you do, you got my number, call me. And so
I live in Indianapolis. I just work out of town. But, yeah, I hope I get to come back again.
We need to hook up because we do. I'm currently involved in the Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance, which it deals with a lot of facets of life that's going on in our city, and we're trying to come together to do some things that's going to help people, primarily Black people, but we're not going to limit it to Black people. See, because I don't feel like you can. My main focus might be Black people, but my focus is people. Do I think there's going to be, I believe that there is a heaven. I believe that Jesus is coming back to take us to that heaven. I don't believe there's going to be a Black heaven and a white heaven, a Hispanic heaven, a Jewish heaven. I believe we're all going to dwell in a place where it ain't going to matter who you were.
Well, I want to question something like, I listen to Dr. Umar and I listen to a lot of the other, you know, strong Black power speakers, and yeah, I'm with you know, everybody, all races coming together. But I also listen to what they're saying as well, and I believe what the message they trying to put out when they say Black only, Black only, Black only, I believe that they're trying to bring Black people together because there's so much division within our race. Because you look at different other sections like the Mexicans, the, you know, Chicano, the Italians, and when you look at even different African groups, you know, Nigerians, you know, Senegalese, you see there's unity within them. But when you look at us, the American Black man, come on now, how many homicides already in the city of Indianapolis? We killing each other, we crabs in a barrel mentality. You know, so I see that in what Dr. Umar is doing, and you know, absolutely, different other ones, what they're doing. But yeah, I'm with what you're saying. You know, everybody coming together, but you know, I see they trying to just at least get that message to us as a people. Like, man, we got to bring some type of unity amongst ourselves.
And Tyron, I'm down with that. Trust me, I'm down with that. But again, If I'm really going to be down with trying to start in my neighborhood, then I got to start with these babies to keep them from getting to the point where, because I don't want to be a minister of doom and gloom. We've got a lot of young people, man, that are I'm not going to say they're a lost case, but they're close. Okay.
Absolutely.
When you don't care, listen, Richard Pryor joked years ago. He said he went to a prison in, I think it was Arizona, and he said there was a guy in there who was in prison for killing 12 people. Mm. And he said, he asked the man, he said, Why did you kill everybody in the house? And the guy said, they were home. And that was a joke. But when you kill 12 people, see, I'll say this, and I got this from him. Thank God for penitentiaries. Because if you got some young people in your neighborhood who will do what they call it, home invasions now. That's popular to do home invasions. So if we got somebody, because here's part of my problem too. You got Ray Ray in your neighborhood who has killed 5 people already, and everybody in the hood knows Ray Ray killed these people.
Ain't nobody gonna snitch.
Ray Ray killed them.
Dude.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So as long as Ray Ray's on the street, guess what? Your life and my life is in danger. So we got to start in our, you got to start in your own place, man. If we can bring neighborhoods together, we got the 10-point coalition right here in Indianapolis who, you know, I guess they're doing some good things, I guess.
I'm not even going to say that. I know the 10-point coalition well.
I'm not here to condemn, but I'm just telling you, we got to do something different.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to say. You got to do something different. And so let me tell you this. In 1996, a friend of mine, Thelma Walker, who's gone on to glory now, she called me and said, Reverend Bates, would you come out here and teach a Bible class? She lived on the south side. Granville Apartments was the complex. And so I said, sure, I'll do this. 4 years, Tyron, I went out there every Thursday for 4 years and taught a Bible class. The ages ranged from 7 to 17.
Oh, okay.
Out of all those young boys, and they're grown men now, okay, I'll run across them and they'll say, how you doing, Mr. Bates? And I'm saying, I'm good, but who are you? And they're like, well, I'm Antoine or whoever from Granville. And I have to focus back on who they were. But here's what I'm saying. Out of all the boys that came through there, one guy went to prison. One went to prison. What's my point? If we catch these kids and start putting God into them as young people, maybe all of them are going to be saved. But and I'm not even speaking in terms of salvation. I'm just talking about saved from prison, saved from a life of drugs, saved from a life of crime. This is what we've got to do. We got to take boys and start shaping them into being men. Because listen, boys build houses. Boys don't play house. Boys build homes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Men work. Boys gamble. And I could go on with the difference. I got a friend. I'm going to give him a shout out. Dr. Clarence L. James out of Chicago. He wrote a book called Lost or Left Generation. And his premise is that they didn't get lost. We left them. And he gave this little story. He said, if you came by my house, Tyron, and you said, Reverend Bates, I'm going to the mall. Can I take your grandkids with me? And I say, sure, Tyron, take my grandkids. And you come back from the mall and tell me, well, Reverend Bates, your kids got lost at the mall. My kids didn't get lost. You left them. You had to leave my kids, my grandkids, somewhere for them to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
So we have left generation.
Well, absolutely.
We stopped doing the things that were successful. And when it's successful, you need to keep doing it until somebody can give you a better way to do it. I told you before, I said it in the little clip that you ran. I don't know if it was my generation or the generation after me. I hear a lot of people say this. Well, I don't want my kids to go through what I went through. Listen, let me say this about that particular statement. At least, let's say 5 inches of snow minimum outside right now. When I was growing up, I wanted to see a day like this. You know why? Because I might go out and make $200, $300 shoveling snow. You can't get these kids out in front of a TV because they're playing a video game all day long.
Mm-hmm. Or they on the phone.
Listen, my brother. You can watch Judge Judy or some court show, and you'll see young people in their 30s and maybe even in their 40s who are on television arguing about who should get the Xbox. Now, for a brother sitting around 35 years old playing a Xbox, a PlayStation all day long, you need some help now. You need to go to a job. I'm not saying the brother ain't got no job. I don't know. if your time is being wasted, now I'm going to consider it, people can criticize me about that. You know, I see somebody saying, I think it starts with the parents. Absolutely. It starts in your home. You got to start in your home. That's why I say absolutely. In your neighborhood. In your neighborhood.
Let me go back to another comment I put up here. The brother King Dwayne, he was saying it also needs to be clear that fornication is not premarital sex.
What do you want to call it? If you're not married, it's fornication. If you're married, if you're having sex and you're not married, it's fornication. Check that definition out.
Well, he should be on to talk with us later on in the program. But yes, I certainly agree that it starts with the parents, family, the community.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I want to say something else to what you said in the clip. You talked about how, you know, in church, the church got you together. Like if you cut up in the sanctuary, they got you.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
got you right there in the sanctuary. But mm-hmm. we live in a day now in 2022, and years before 2022, you can't really say nothing to nobody's kids. And I can say this honestly because I've been working with kids since 2006. About 16 years been working with kids, and I can honestly tell you that some of these parents, mainly the mothers, the fathers, no, they tell me, oh man, get on. Getting his butt, man. Getting his butt. But the mother, mm-hmm. no. My son.
That's a big part of the problem, Tyron. That's a serious part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Listen, let's hit welfare. The origin of welfare, maybe the intent was good, okay? But when they came along and said, if this woman is going to receive welfare, this man can't be in the house, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So guess what happened? So guess what happened? Since the man can't be in there, he got these kids here on the west side. I'm going to give you this little scenario. So now he's free to roam, and back during that time, many women didn't drive, okay? So this brother's floating from the east side to the west side. Now he got kids on the west side. Now he got kids on the south side and the north side. So he got all these kids that are being put on welfare because he can't be in the home. So what we had was a lot of families that were raised where the man was not in the home, okay? And when you remove, hear this now, when you remove the man, the family is going to fall apart. I'll argue that with anybody.
And you know what? Now,
wait a minute, let me say this. I'm not suggesting that women cannot raise children properly. I'm not suggesting that at all. It just was not intended to be that way. Just wasn't intended to be that way.
Well, I was going to say this, is that was part of, also that was part of, you know, having us without, you know, unity. If you taking away the black family structure, you know, where mm-hmm. unity is formed amongst the children and their parents, you take that apart, where's the unity?
It's gone. And that's part of the problem. But understand this. Back when I was a kid, if Uncle John was sick, we didn't send him to the nursing home. He came to live with us. If Grandma got sick, Grandma got too old to take care of herself, we didn't send Grandma to the nursing home. Grandma came to live with us. Now, everybody wants to send the older people to the nursing home.
Mm.
So the family is no longer the family that it used to be.
Right.
It just isn't. And so if we go back there, a whole lot of our, man, don't you know, I was reading that most of the prosperity in the black community took place immediately after slavery. Now, what you think about that?
Yeah.
If you go back and study history, we created colleges, we created
yeah.
universities, we created everything.
Yeah.
We took care of ourselves. Okay. All of a sudden, now everybody wants to be on their own.
Dr. King spoke about that.
Yeah. But let me just throw a rhetorical question out here. What would happen if Michael Jordan And I'm just trying to pull some names out there. Oprah Winfrey, LeBron, my hat's off to LeBron. This brother's doing some serious stuff. Okay? Some serious, he's putting his money where his mouth is, okay? But if people had the same mentality that LeBron has and came together, we wouldn't need to worry about what everybody else was doing. Trust me. We talking about billionaires.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I don't want to slam. I don't want to get on here and just slam people. That's not what I'm about. I just think that people need to be held accountable. To whom much is given, much is required and expected. So if I get billions of dollars, I need to be doing something for the community. And people say, well, Larry, you don't let somebody know. Let somebody else help you do something where we don't have to worry about welfare. Churches. Hey, man, look, I'm not going to get on here and defend churches who have resources who are doing nothing for people. I'm not down with that. I'm just not down with it.
Okay.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can't see you, though.
Okay, I'll put you on the screen.
Okay.
We have a caller.
But listen, you got a caller online?
Go ahead, Mr. D. You are live.
Hey. Okay. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, like, how you doing, brother Pastor? It's good to hear you, sir. I haven't had the chance to meet you or run by your building,
but I
understand you got a nice place over there. I wanted to agree with Brother Pastor about what he was saying about the doctor. Now, you know, Dr. Umar, he's okay in his own lane, but some of the things he said, you just can't digest. Because, I mean, when you really start talking about separatists, black separatists, then you're talking about destroying yourself. Because I'm pretty sure that the brother pastor there has read in the Bible where the white man came from the black man. So with the white man coming
Amen.
From the black man, how can a man love himself and hate himself at the same time? You know, I hear a lot of people talk pro-black and pro-this and pro-that, but the bottom line is we need everybody. We're a rainbow coalition. We need the whites as well as the Mexicans and the Latinos
right.
and all them other fellas. You know, so I'm not on the bandwagon of pro-black, pro-black separatists. I ain't on that bandwagon just yet. You're all familiar with that pastor. That passage in the Bible, right, sir?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. I'm listening, man. You guys go ahead on. Before I get out the way real quick, I'm going to drink me a Pepsi. But, Brother Pastor, could you explain to me, an older man, you know, I tell everybody I'm 300 years old. Okay. Could you explain to me the Bible definition of marriage? Because I remember reading somewhere in there where God told the man, you know, he told the man, you go take you a woman. But I ain't saw nowhere in there where he asked for a piece of paper or a diamond ring to take the woman. Could you explain that to me, please, sir?
Wait a minute, give me that last part of that again.
Now you got to go downtown, you got to get a paper, you got to put a ring on her finger and all of that, when I myself has not read that in the Old or the New Testament. Could you explain that to me so I can get myself on straight street?
Well, okay, let's break it down from this perspective. A man shall go out and find himself a wife, and they shall, the two shall become one. Okay. Now, when you go to the criteria when they're looking for some deacons, okay,
it says, go out and find seven men full of the spirit of a good report, the husband of one wife. You hear me?
Yes, sir, I'm with you on that. We running side by side now. I'm with you.
The husband of one wife. So in order to be a husband, that means you've been married.
Okay.
Now, when we start dealing with the diamond rings and the big weddings and all the rest of this stuff, now we're getting into men's tradition, and that's all about money. I'd rather two people come into the study and let me perform the wedding ceremony than them live together for the rest of their life than for them to spend $40,000 on a wedding and 6 months later they in divorce court.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, because I'm with you. I'm sort of having a problem understanding, but a lot of people believe that you cannot be married unless you've got a piece of paper that says you're married, when there is no such thing in the tampered with King James Version Bible that says you have to have a piece of paper.
Well, it's a tradition. It's a tradition.
Oh, okay.
But again, the Bible says the husband of one wife. So now what we're talking about is polygamy. You got some religions out here that tell a man he can have more than one. The Mormons. You know, you got some of those guys out there in Utah, they got 7-8 wives. Now,
okay.
To me, it's hard enough being married to one woman. So I don't know how you're going to be married to 7 or 8. I mentioned my friend Clarence L. James, and here's what he said in his book. He said the most dangerous animal on the planet is the single man. Now listen to what he said. He said, a single man will spread his seed anywhere and everywhere, only to come up on it years later and may not even know it's his.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
That's pretty deep, ain't it?
Yeah, that's pretty heavy.
On the Jerry Springer show every day. Here's somebody 38 years old trying to find out who their daddy is.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Cause see, I was reading the part. I don't read the Bible too much, but I read the part where God told a man, said, "You go over there and take you a wife." Now, in my opinion, if that man takes that woman to be his wife and he's committed to her, you know, like he's committed to himself, and he don't want no other woman, ain't looking at nobody and nothing else, he's treating this lady like she's his precious jewel. So in my eyesight, that would be a marriage, because she's not giving him a headache and he's not giving her a headache. And in other words, I would say he's found his spare rib. I'm sorry. When I say spare rib, I'm referring to women. You know, because if women was taken out of a rib that Adam didn't need, so that was a spare rib. Hey, I'm going to drink a Pepsi and listen to you guys.
I'm just a firm believer that we got to do it through God.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Mm-hmm. Everybody still there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Hello.
Hey, I'm gonna get me a Pepsi, man, and guzzle down this Pepsi with this ice, and I'm gonna run upstairs and listen to you guys. So far, me and the pastor running down the same street, but we driving different cars.
Okay.
Well, enjoy that Pepsi, man.
Yes, I will.
All right, we're gonna bring it in. We're going to bring in now King Dwayne. He was the one talking about the premarital sex.
Hey, my brother.
Oh.
Couldn't hear you.
Wait, hold on. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's not letting them come in. Now the system want to act.
I can see him.
You can see him?
Yeah.
Can you hear him?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
How you doing, my brother? Crazy, man. We lost him.
All right, well, are we there, boss? Are we there, boss? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, T? Yeah, can you hear me? Okay, I hope you can hear me. To the young lady that you can't hear me?
When they call me church, I'm like...
Hey,
let's bring D back.
Can you hear me, boss man?
D, I ain't there now.
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me, T? Hello, T. Can you hear me? Ah, oh, man.
You know, like past Reverend Ike, I heard something about the...
Hello?
I clicked on the mic, D.
Oh, you there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
So nobody in my church. I'm down with him, but he was not.
Okay, I'm here.
So, you know, if we got to give away in our church, we should be here to do it. Oh, I'm here. In the church, I'm in the corner of the house. He had a food.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?